This verse describes the qualities of pure devotees, those who are Mahatmanastumam Bharata Daivim Praktimashitaha Bhajanti Ananda Manaso Gyatvan Bhutarimash Ashma. Those who are worshipping Krishna, this Bhajanti is translated as worshipping, but there's no real translation in English. English is not a language meant for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has transcendentalized English, but there's no real translation of the word bhajan. Worship. Bhajan means, with, as Prabhupada states in this purport, he explains it in more detail, with body, mind, and words to be fully engaged in the service of Krishna, always. That is the meaning of bhajan. So, bhajanti ananya manasa. Without the mind being deviated to anything else. Actually, bhajan means ananya manas, without any deviation. If there's any deviation, then there's vibhajan. The mind gets divided. But just to emphasize, ananya manasa, without being deviated to anything else. Again and again, Krishna stresses this here in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayantumam, ananya cheta satatam. Again and again stresses that bhajan must be solely centered on Krishna, without diversion to anything else. So such are pure devotees, they're under the shelter of the internal potency of Krishna, which Prabhupada explains elsewhere. This means they're sheltered by Srimati Radharani. They're under the bhakti shakti. Bhaktas are under the bhakti shakti, not the bahiranga shakti, abhakti shakti. Because gyatva bhuta adhimashram. They know that Krishna is all in all and fully surrendered to him. So what is the symptom of such a devotee? First symptom is mentioned here. Always engaged in glorifying Krishna. In bhajan, bhajantyananda manaso. In bhajan, kai manavakya, by body, mind, and words, one is to always be engaged in the service of Krishna. But the principal symptom of a pure devotee is that always glorifying Krishna. And other symptoms are given. Yatantascha, juravrataha. Always endeavoring in devotional service with great determination. Offering obeisances. And in this way, always engaged in various ways, always engaged in Krishna service. But principally, principal symptom of a pure devotee, always engaged in glorifying Krishna. Especially in Kali Yuga, Naam Kirtan is recommended. Harem Nama, Harem Nama, Harem Nama, Eva Kevala. Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Dandiyam Yata. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual perfection, but to chant the name of Hari, the name of Hari, the name of Hari. A Bengali Vaishnava poet has paraphrased this. Dharma Karama Ejapa Etapa Jnana Yoga Jaga Dhyan Nahi 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 Kalite Kebala Upaya Govindana. That simply following the rules of Vanashram Dharma, performing one's work, various kinds of japa, apart from Hare Krishna Mantra japa, there are various japas recommended, or different austerities, cultivating knowledge, impersonal knowledge, or knowledge of scripture with an impersonal tendency, performing yoga, performing sacrifices, doing meditation. Nahi, nahi, nahi. No, won't work. Kali Yuga, it won't work. Why is that? Yeah. In Satya Yoga, the process for God realization was meditation. Kriteya Dhyayato Vishnu. In the Satya Yoga, Krita Yoga, the process was to meditate on Vishnu. But in this age, no one's mind is steady. We cannot fix the mind. If we simply try to fix the form of the Lord in our mind, again we'll find vibhajan. It'll become divided in so many ways. So the best, therefore in the kalo kriteya dhyayate Vishnu, tritayo yajyato makhaya. So for the same purpose of remembering Vishnu, the process of yajna was introduced in the Treta Yoga. And then again, with the situation becoming more and more degraded by Dwarpa Yoga, the sages found it necessary to introduce the Archan Vidhi, deity worship. Tritayo yajato makai dwapari paricharyaryam kalodhadhari kirtanat. And in Kali Yoga, the kirtan process is meant for remembering Krishna. Nam kirtan. Hari kirtan, nam kirtan. So this fulfills the purpose of all other processes. And particularly in this age, no process can be successful. When there's deity worship without chanting the holy names of Krishna, that will not be successful. Everything has to be accompanied by chanting the name of Krishna in this Kali Yuga. And the holy name alone is sufficient to give all God realization. Eha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shava sarva kan kahana vidhinahiya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that simply by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, everyone can achieve all perfection. Therefore, everyone should chant the holy names all the time. And there's no other process. But then we may say, then why are we having this class? Why don't we just stop it and just chant? Why did Prabhupada write so many books? Why did the acharyas write so many books? And why did they establish temples? Why don't we just all sit and chant Hare Krishna, like Haridas Thakur, every day? 3 lakhs names. That's 198 rounds. 192 rounds daily. So he was only chanting all day and night. So why don't we do that? Well, one reason is that we can't do it because we don't have so much taste for the holy name. It is necessary for us to hear about Krishna, Shravan Kirtan. We find in the list of 9 processes of devotional service, Shravan Kirtan. First is mentioned Shravan. Shravan must come first. Hearing about Krishna must come first. Because even Kotabustapara. This lady here, one lady can't understand. Anyone can translate for her? She's come, she likes to hear, so I can translate. So, even if we are to chant, how will we chant? First, someone has to tell us to chant, isn't it? So first comes Shravan. Then they will say, why should I chant? And that will have to be explained. And that will have to be explained in great detail, because due to our contaminated consciousness, unlike Haridas Thakur, we do not have the natural taste for chanting the holy names. So we have a taste for topics other than Krishna. This is our situation in material consciousness. So hearing about Krishna, why we should chant Hare Krishna, why we should surrender to Krishna. So hearing, that is to convince us intellectually and to awaken attraction. It's not, if we say we'll intellectually we shall understand why we should chant Hare Krishna. That's one part, one function of hearing. We should hear to become convinced. But hearing is also to awaken the natural attraction of the jiva for Krishna. It's not just that we should do our duty. Why should we go to war? And they will try to convince us. But that's a duty. But chanting Hare Krishna or serving Krishna is not, it is not simply the duty of the jiva, but it is his pleasure. Certainly it is the duti. It is, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one book, Jaiva Dharma. What Jaiva Dharma, what is the function, what is the natural activity of the jiva, of the spirit soul? And in that book he analyzes different phases or understandings of dharma, such as demigod worship, impersonal, striving for impersonal understanding of the absolute truth, Islam, so many different things he compares. And then the conclusion is that jaiva dharma, the natural function of the jiva, is to serve Krishna. And jaiva dharma, its topmost manifestation, is the service of Radha and Krishna. This he has established. Now the word dharma is often translated as duty, isn't it? There's no one word, again in English, it's sometimes translated as duty, sometimes as religion. Prabhupada translates often as occupational duty. That specifically means within Varnashram Dharma. So we can say it is the duty of the jiva to serve the Lord. But dharma, praying dharma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught praying dharma. In love, it's more than duty. Just to give a mundane simile, it is expected in traditional culture that the wife will cook and serve the husband. So that is her duty to do so. But it is expected that it is not just out of duty, but she does so with affection also. So it is the duty of the jiva to serve Bhagavan. But more than duty, it is out of love. That is the natural relationship between Bhagavan and the jiva, is a relationship of love. So hearing about Krishna, Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kariye Udoy Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kapunani. Hearing about Krishna awakens the natural feelings that the jiva has for Krishna. So these are two functions of hearing: to convince us of the necessity of serving Krishna and to awaken the natural attraction for doing so. Then there are so many other points too. There's sambandha, abhideya, prayojan, how to serve Krishna. We'll hear and understand why we should serve Krishna and how to serve Krishna. And what is the result of serving Krishna? Where are we going? What are we aiming for? So sambandha, avideya, prayojan, hearing about Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That also includes analysis of what is not Krishna consciousness. Devotees only speak about Krishna, then they say, well, why do we discuss about the foolishness of the endeavor for material happiness? Why do we also discuss how the endeavor for impersonal liberation is, this is also not wanted? Why do we discuss all these things? Why don't we just talk about Krishna Leela? It's required that we also hear about the foolishness or the uselessness of endeavors for material happiness in all its various phases. That means just like demigod worship for material gain, we should hear about this. And then so many different philosophies may be current in the world, that at different times there are various phases of different philosophies which are present in the world, and the conditioned souls tend to become attracted by these various philosophies because we hear them. We are constantly hearing not Krishna Katha but Gramya Katha, or the talk of ordinary people who do not know. They are Panditamani. They think that I am very learned, but they do not know. Nativedu Swarte Gatengi Vishnu. They do not know that the real goal of life is to attain Vishnu, Vishnu Bhakti. So what we hear, and by the association we keep, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, our desires tend to develop, and we tend to think in the way that other people think, that most people are not thinking of Krishna. So that is the result of asat sangha, that we won't think of Krishna. And there are many elaborate philosophical systems which are designed to help us elaborately forget Krishna and think that what we are doing is right, whereas actually everything that we are doing is not right if we are not surrendering to Krishna. It may seem right, but the nature of this material world is that it seems, everything here seems real, but then we find that everything we considered real, we study in school and college for 20 years so that we can spend the next 30 years working like a slave, and then we die and we think this is reality. In this way the whole life goes, but we think this is the purpose of life. Everyone is doing it. We should study, have a respectable position in society, and we presume it's correct because we're always hearing this and we're always associating with people who think like this. And there are various ideas extant in the world. So we have to hear what is the actual fact, what is actual reality, from those who are in contact with that reality. We're not in contact. Now we are supposing that our present situation, this is real. Often people say, well, what are you, all this fairy tale stuff you're talking about, but we should talk about reality. I have to feed my wife and children. I have to pay the taxes. I have to go to the office and work hard. This is reality. Well, it may be reality for a snap of a finger. Spot life, Prabhupada used to say. Just for a very short time. And then the next time round, we may be thinking that reality is that, woo, woo, this is my reality. Dog or cat. So what we think is reality and what seems to us to be real, that is the trick of Maya. Therefore we have to hear Vaikunthavani, sounds that come from beyond From the other side, there's the Viraja, the Viraja Nadi, the river that separates the world of actual reality from the world of temporary reality or falsity. So in this material world, everyone's way of thinking is perverted, false. But actual understanding is to understand that we are all meant for serving Krishna. This is for our actual benefit. So we have to hear this. We may say chant, we should chant the holy name, but our chanting cannot be perfect and complete unless it is accompanied by regular hearing of whose name we are chanting, for what reason we are chanting, and how we should chant. Otherwise, out of some sentiment, we see so many Mayavadis. They're also chanting the holy names of Krishna. But Krishna is not pleased by that. Krishna is not pleased by the chanting of persons who think that by this chanting, I shall become Krishna. He's not pleased by that. That Ravana must have been, he was also saying the name of Ram. But Ram didn't become pleased with him. He came and killed him. So some may say, well, see, Ravana, he also chanted the name of Ram. But what was his attitude in chanting? That is not kirtan. Ram, the name of Ram chanted by Ravana, that was never kirtan, because that was not chanted out of love, not chanted in a sense of service. That was chanted in a sense of hatred towards Ram. Envy of Ram. So he did not get the transcendental benefit of chanting the holy names because he chanted offensively. So also if one chants the names of Krishna but thinks that Krishna is simply some manifestation of the impersonal absolute, in other words, they think that ultimately Krishna has no hands, legs, face, form, words, the Bhagavad Gita is all, it's all just some temporary manifestation. As the Mayavadis say, they want to establish that the absolute truth is impersonal. So their chanting of the holy names is not pleasing to Krishna. It is not bhakti. They think it's bhakti because they have a perverted idea that bhakti is something we should do and then gradually we get knowledge and then we become Bhagavan. We become the object of bhakti. But that is not bhakti. So much hearing we have to do. Almost everyone in India, they think, oh, bhakti. Yeah, bhakti is something we do and then the God blesses us for our material enjoyment. Or we ourselves become the God. And you can worship any of the gods and they're all the same and this is bhakti. It all works out to be the same. So even the very concept of bhakti that most people have is not bhakti, it's opposite to bhakti. Because bhakti means ananya manasaha, not diverted this way, that way, or the other way, but simply based on attitude of service to Krishna. But in this material world, we don't have an attitude of service to Krishna. We have the attitude that everyone should serve me. Ishvaraham aham bhogi. I'm the controller, everyone should serve me. So we have to hear. And how should we hear? And who should we hear from? Tadvidhi pranipatena. First, we should hear with submissiveness. Without submissiveness, we cannot hear. Nowadays, it's a popular idea. You go to some religious discourse, or you read some book, and you listen to it, and what you like, you take, and what you don't like, you throw it out. Often we say to people, in the Western countries, this is very common, you tell people something, they say, I kind of like that idea. Or often people ask you, well, what do you believe? As if it's very important what we believe. This is how people, they cogitate on the mental platform. That, what do you believe? Well, I believe this. I think I can accept a little bit of that. And this way they take philosophy as something to be changed every day. Every time you hear something, it changes a little bit. But as Prabhupada would say when he was asked, what is your belief? He said, it is not a question of belief, it is a science. It's fact. What is the use of a belief? Belief means something that we perceive to be correct, but who are we? We have tiny intelligence, tiny experience, tiny ability to experience. Then what is the use about believing anything? Practically, if we say what I believe, it means it must be wrong. Therefore, we don't... Faith is required, but not... What kind of faith is required? Faith is required in devotional service. But there are two divisions of faith. Laukik Shraddha, just ordinary faith, and Shastriya Shraddha. Shastra means... which is an exposition of the absolute truth. So we should have faith in that. We should have faith in that which presents reality. Rather than, well, I believe in Osho's philosophy, or Sai Baba's philosophy, or whatever. I don't think he has any philosophy. But anyway, but I believe, because, well, why believe in something which some man has given? Rather, we should accept what is the eternal truth which is given in Shastra. So, this should be accepted in humility with the understanding that I don't know, but there is reality. I don't know it. Therefore, I have to hear to understand. What is this? You have to hear from the perfect source. Now, does this mean that we should become totally blind followers? No. Arjuna wasn't a blind follower of Krishna. He said, Shishyaste hang shadi maang tvang prapanam. Now I am your disciple. Shishya means who is to be disciplined by shasana. And I am surrendered to you. But several times during the course of Krishna speaking to him, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna expressed doubts. And Krishna didn't say, you just shut up and accept what I say. He didn't say that. Krishna addressed his doubts. Krishna was telling Arjuna, just one example, Krishna was telling Arjuna, Idang vivasvate yogam, not the aham. Idang vivasvate yogam. Proktavana hamabhyam. Vivasvam. Manave praha. Manur ichvakave bravit. Then Krishna spoke another verse. And in the meantime, Arjuna, he's just thinking and saying, Evang parampara praptam. Arjuna is saying there, wait a minute. Huh? What is this? Katameta vijana yantam ado proktavaniti. How can I accept what you just said? That param janma vivasvataha, that vivasvan is senior to you, so how can I accept that you spoke? He was born so many millions of years ago, so how can I accept that you spoke to him? What's going on here? He interrupted Krishna. But he didn't say, look, you know, I reject you as a guru. And forget it, you're bogus. But katame tad vijani, how am I supposed to understand what you just said? Then Krishna explained. Bahuni vede titani janmani tapachani. You and I both had many births. Tani aham veda sarvani, natvam veda paramita. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. So Arjuna, he asked several questions. He expressed doubts. Or he wanted further clarification of what Krishna said. And Prabhupada comments that after speaking Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna that, now you understand? You accept this? And Prabhupada said that Krishna was ready, if necessary, to speak the whole Bhagavad Gita again to clarify the points to Arjuna. So it is not that one should hear blindly but submissively. And what's the difference between blind listening and submissive listening? Blind faith. submissive but not blind. What is the difference between being submissive and being blind? Submissive means that we understand that I am not capable by myself of understanding the Absolute Truth, but there is the Absolute Truth, and there is someone who can explain that to me. But at the same time, one should accept, or one should be intelligent enough to understand that not everyone who claims to speak the truth is speaking the truth. Now, Shishya Stehang Shadi Maung Tuang Prapannam. When one surrenders to a guru, then that means that he accepts that this person is competent to speak and to teach. So, Arjuna, when he was asking Krishna, it wasn't so much that he was expressing a doubt in Krishna, but he was expressing, at this point I need more clarification. He was expressing a doubt, not in Krishna, but in his ability to understand what Krishna had said. So, blind following should not be there. One should not just... This is a very great mistake in modern Hinduism, is that people think, well, my guru said, so we just accept. But what guru says must be based on Shastra. Not just anyone, otherwise anyone can say anything. Look, I'm a guru, why don't you become my disciple? Oh, okay, all right, I'll be your disciple. Okay, so why don't you teach me? All right, well, God lives on that tree over there. That tree is God. Okay. We should accept that the tree is God. Guru said. But what is the praman? What is the... Why should we accept? Guru means he should speak according to Shastra and according to Parampara. We should hear according to the Parampara. Prabhupada never said that I am a God-realized soul and I have come to teach you. But he said, I am simply presenting what I have received in Parampara through my guru. And even his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a tremendously learned scholar, his guru was Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who appeared to be almost illiterate. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he was speaking in very high level philosophy. Even great scholars and professors, they were astonished by the level of philosophy he was speaking. But he would say that, I am not giving anything of my own. Whatever I've heard from my Guru Maharaj, I'm speaking. Whatever he inspires me within the heart to say, I'm speaking. It's not my own thing. It's not my own. So, with faith that what is being presented to us is authentic, we should hear. But we should hear carefully, discerningly, not just accept that what anyone says is correct just because they have some charisma. Or often people become attracted. Someone was telling me they went to some Kalki, what is this imitation Kalki Bhagavan, and they did some bhajan, and then his sister-in-law became cured of cancer for some time, and then again she got worse, and then they went back to him, and then at the end they did some cure and it didn't work. So there are many people who have some mystic power, and they can do some, they can cure, it seems that they can cure people. But it's not their power, it's some borrowed power. There's some shakti, some subtle shakti in the universe which they have some means of accessing. And to us it looks like a miracle. Oh, they cured me. But they didn't cure, they cannot cure themselves. There's Sai Baba who apparently cured so many people, now he broke his leg. So, healer, heal thyself. He cannot be cured from old age. No, he's an old man. So, to foolish people it seems, oh, he says he's God, and I came to see him and he cured me, then he must be God. They don't know the criteria by which one is to be understood as God. They don't understand the criterion by which one is understood to be a fit person to learn from. Therefore, even if one does kirtan but doesn't hear properly, that kirtan won't be proper kirtan. Kirtan means to praise Krishna. Here in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastime. So kirtan means naam kirtan, roop kirtan, gun kirtan, lila kirtan, parikar kirtan, glorifying His associates. So, if we don't know who is Krishna, what are His qualities, or if we have some misunderstanding of that, that won't be proper kirtan at all. Krishna won't be pleased. If we chant His holy names but with an offensive understanding, for instance that Krishna is one of the gods, that is an offense. Or if we think that Krishna is ultimately impersonal, that is an offense. That Krishna, we're chanting your name, but we don't believe that you really exist. You're just some transformation of Satvagun. So that, to the materialistic person, or to the Mayavadi, this seems like very great praise. Oh, Krishna is a transformation of Satvagun. But it's actually an offense to Krishna to think like this. Krishna is not pleased. The prayers of the impersonalist, or the kirtan of the impersonalist, the so-called kirtan, is actually painful to Krishna. If someone comes up to you and says, well, you don't actually exist, you're false, and is that praise? You're so great, you're so wonderful, but you're false. You don't actually exist. You're not real. So that's an offense to Krishna and to his devotees, because Krishna is Raso Vayasa. He is Rasa. So Krishna exists to love his devotees. And if you say that there is no Krishna, then there's no love, there's no Radha, there's no gopis, there's no Vrindavan, it's all just imagination. So hearing has to be there to clear away the misconception. So many misconceptions. To have the clear understanding of who is Krishna. Then our natural propensity to serve Krishna will be awakened. But unless we clearly understand who is Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who am I? I am his eternal servant. Unless we clearly understand this, then our natural propensity to serve Krishna will not be awakened. As much as we do not clearly understand who is Krishna and what is our relationship with him, and that much we will misunderstand, and that much we will continue to desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So hearing is essential. There's no proper kirtan without shravan, and shravan precedes kirtan. The two go together. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that just as Krishna, Krishna is complete. He is the supreme, complete, absolute truth. But his completeness cannot be considered without Srimati Radharani, because Krishna is inseparable from her. She is his Swarup Shakti. His Swarup Shakti means the energy which makes him Shakti. He is Shaktiman. But she is Shakti, so inseparable. So just as Srimati Radharani is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, so Shravan is the Swarup Shakti of Kirtan. Kirtan is not complete. It is. It just like if we see Krishna, Just like in Udupi, for instance, we'll see Krishna alone. So there is Krishna. But Gaurya Vaishnavas know that Krishna must always be with Radharani. So Krishna, we see Krishna. Krishna is there, he's complete. But Gaurya Vaishnavas see, or they see that there's no Radha. So they consider not complete. And Krishna himself feels himself incomplete. So Nam Kirtan is incomplete without Shravan. Shravan must be there also. And Shravan means that Kirtan is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtaniya Sada Harihi. So then if we say, okay, now stop the Kirtan, we'll have Shravan. Then Kirtan is stopped? No, because Shravan means hearing Kirtan. Kirtan means glorification of Krishna. So these different phases of Kirtan should go on. Hari Katha Kirtan and Nam Kirtan. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? Prabhupada said, because I heard nicely, therefore I can speak nicely. So one who does Shravan very carefully, attentively, faithfully, intelligently, then they can also do nice kirtan. You have a question? Some question? Alright, so thank you all for so kindly coming and giving me an opportunity to perform kirtan. Hare Krishna.